Thanks for joining us. We've dedicated this week to discussing housing on the JX and the opposite of housing, homelessness. The Oregon legislature is halfway done on a major package of housing bills to put $200 million into housing and homelessness programs. Governor Tina Kotek, in office since January, has declared a housing emergency. She gave us a few minutes on the subject.
Governor Kotek, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange. Let's frame the issue in a time frame first. We're clearly in a hole, but how deep and how long have we been digging?
Oh, on the issue of housing, you know, this did not happen overnight. I really appreciate that question. If we all think back to the Great Recession in, you know, 2008, 2009, 2010, we stopped building, right? And but people kept moving here over the last, you know, two decades. And we are behind, and we have a new target in the state to build 36,000 new units every year over the next decade, because that would get us, fill the gap and get us ahead of where we need to be, because we have people moving here. We have people who live here now who do not have housing, and it's affecting everything in our communities, economically, education outcomes, health and safety. We're here because we just haven't built enough housing.
Well, getting to 36,000 new houses a year is more than a 50% increase from where we are now. Talk about, if you would, how the declaration of a housing emergency speeds up the work. I mean, houses still take time to build. Shelter space still takes time to acquire and prepare.
Well, they certainly do. And, you know, Southern Oregon has definitely seen this firsthand with the devastation after the 2020 Labor Day fires, right? And how long it takes. And I just want to say briefly about that. I have not forgotten those communities. We're trying to work there. And one of the things we're bringing to the table is you need innovation. We have to do business differently. The emergency order says we have a new target. We've just set up a production advisory council that is representative across the state, both, you know, low-income housing, workforce housing, urban, rural, suburban. And we are going to look at every issue. What's the red tape issues? How do we finance? How do we get the workforce to actually build this housing? And in the interest of, you know, what's going on in Southern Oregon, I've been very supportive of this new program to build modular housing here from a mass timber produced in Oregon, but modular housing that can be prefabricated, then clicked together more or less, and then brought down to communities in Southern Oregon. There's a new home, I think, coming there in another month or so. It's the example of the things we have to do differently to build more housing.
Now, Governor, local states of emergency were declared not just for the state, but for parts of Oregon in continuum of care regions. For example, Jackson County, but not Josephine, with an opt-in for the counties potentially. But, for example, the cities of Grants Pass and Cave Junction declared emergencies, but the county commissioners thus far have refused. Does that effectively block money the cities might otherwise access?
Well, I really appreciate that question, because in addition to the long-term housing needs, we have to deal with what's happening on our streets right now. No one should be living outside. So the emergency order around unsheltered homelessness did say if you're a continuum of care, a region of the state that saw a 50% increase in your unsheltered homelessness from over the last five-year period, and we put you on the fast track for additional resources. But the legislature is on the path to approve not only money to help those areas like Jackson County, but counties and cities like Josephine County, with additional money that will serve the entire state. So we will have resources flowing to every part, even if county and city governments can't get aligned. But I have to tell you, local governments are going to have to figure this out. We're going to have to be on the same page. Cities are dealing with things on the front lines. Counties are often the providers of services and the primary funders for these resources. They have to be together on these issues.
Well, you know, I noticed the legislature actually put more money into the major bills that just passed the House and are waiting in the Senate. Any differences between you and legislators about where that money should go? Did they just take your idea and supersize it?
Well, they did add on to it, and I'm really glad they did, because when we did our emergency order, we had to keep it very specific, and that's why the balance of the state, which was more rural, did automatically qualify because of the numbers, although we have had counties like Linn County and Malheur County and Clatsop County getting in on that emergency order. The legislator said, hey, we need more specifically for these other rural counties. I said, absolutely. There's also money in there for some ag worker housing that is needed, also for homeless young people. So I think the total package is now $200 million. I had asked for $155 million, so I'm happy about where we are. My job is to make sure those dollars can get out the door quickly based on local plans to produce additional help on the streets.
Tina Kotek is the governor of Oregon and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange on this Housing Week. Governor, $200 million for the critical taxpayer. Where does the money go? What are the breakdowns?
Well, I think the very first thing everyone should understand is we are building on what people are doing now. We're not coming to try to build a parallel system. The state wants to know, what's your local gap? What do you need? How many more shelter beds? How many more people do you have to keep from being becoming homeless because they can't pay their rent? What do you need to help people move from shelter into housing? Bring us your plans, and we will be a funder. We need to see the plans, though, and I want accountability. We have some very specific outcomes that we want to see. We want to see more shelter beds. We want to see more people moving off the streets. We want to see more people going into permanent housing. And the money will follow the goals and the plans. And it's not just about money. We need strong coordination and very specific ways to operationalize it on the streets. That's why we brought this emergency management overlay to this whole conversation. We're treating this like the crisis it is. That's like if we had, a natural disaster like the fires. We're saying you all need to sit together on a regular basis and say, how many beds do you need? Who's serving this person? Who's serving that person? This is a very day-to-day operational approach to a crisis, and that money from the state will be there to back it up.
There are some memories, I'm sure, about how some of the federal money got spent with the COVID crisis, and some of it was misspent. So, I mean, when you're trying to talk about getting a large amount of money out the door in a hurry, what kind of safeguards are in place or are being added to make sure that the money spent in a hurry is not spent poorly?
Well, you have to have that balance of urgency and accountability, and our contracts are going to be very clear. Here's what the money can be used for. Here's what we're expecting you to achieve with this, because this is what you've put in your plan. And we are actually fortunate to have that one-time money that came with the pandemic, because the one-time money that came in a lot of communities was the seed money for them to build shelters in the first place. A lot of places were, for the first time able to provide more services. We want to build on that, but have specific outcomes.
Speaking of that, I know OPB reported just before the weekend about a bit of a wrinkle in the bill indicating that that the money was there for new shelter beds, but not necessarily for existing ones. So there was the potential to lose some while you were gaining some. Is that going to be addressed, do you think?
Well, we're asking that question in every community. The question is, what are you funding now? How are you funding it? And I am encouraging communities, cities and counties to be joining me, talking to the legislature to make sure they can have that ongoing support for what they currently have. And we need to have local buy-in. The state can't do it all. So local communities have to figure out what they can add to the pie. And these are hard conversations, but when you have a crisis on your hands, you have to prioritize. So hopefully, we'll figure this out, because people are counting on us to improve what they're seeing on the streets.
The conversation does tend to gravitate toward the new shelter beds, the new housing units, all that sort of thing. But let's focus on the existing, because that's a big part of the package, and there is a fair amount of energy and money put into addressing people who do have housing at the moment but are at risk of losing it.
Yeah, it's a lot more cost effective to keep people housed because once you lose everything and are unsheltered, you might go from an apartment to living with a friend, putting yourself in storage and not being able to pay storage, losing all your things, living on the street in a tent. That is a very expensive way to help somebody. Help them before they lose their housing. That's why we need rent assistance, foreclosure assistance, making sure people can stay. If they have housing, keep them housed, because we don't want to get any worse. Because we already have a big enough challenge on our hands.
With the rent assistance and programs like that, I mean, I would think at some point they'd have to be finite, and there's no particular sign, at least in the near term, that the price of housing is going to slow down in Oregon. Is that addressed at all in your work or the legislature's?
Well, we have to take a multifaceted approach to this challenge, right? Keeping people housed, helping people who are unsheltered, but also helping people move into different types of housing. That's why we're focused on housing supply. If you've been renting a long time but want to buy your first home but can't afford it, that's a rental that someone else can't use. So we have to move the whole continuum from very low income folks to folks who have good jobs but just need housing, in their community. So we're going to have to, do the full continuum. One of the things that I think is important for people to understand is our land use system requires us to provide housing within our urban growth boundaries. We have to have those conversations of how do we provide different options for people to have different opportunities at their price point. And that is something I think we can achieve, but it's going to take an all-hands-on-deck approach.
Governor Tina Kotek of Oregon is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange as we continue our discussions on Housing Week. To what you just mentioned, land use planning in Oregon, urban growth boundaries, always a hot issue. Can we build the housing to get everyone into something and not at the same time push houses into places where they would not have gone just a few years ago?
Well, I think we have to start with where we are, right? We can't, you know, take 2 or 3 years to figure out, you know, all these boundary extensions. That, I think, has to be a future conversation. But right now, what can you build within your urban growth boundaries? What are the barriers? In some places, it just takes too long to get a permit. I can tell you in the metro area, that's a big challenge for builders, how long it takes to get a permit to build in something that's already zoned for housing. So we have to work on just making it easier to get through the process, you know, because time is money when they're trying to build. So that is one place we can start. I think types of housing is important. I've fought for a couple years ago the middle housing bill that said, let's provide different types of home ownership within the urban growth boundary, not just single family standalone homes. And I mostly heard from folks who wanted to downsize. And they were like, look, I own a home, you know, a big yard now, but I want to move into like a townhome because I want to stay in my community, but I can't because I don't have that option. And, you know, this is about the age continuum, the income continuum, to make sure we have different housing. And we need different ideas. Down in Southern Oregon right now, I believe in the Medford area, there's a developer who just got a permit to build 3D homes, 3D
we just
printable
talked to
homes.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, that's the kind of thinking we have to bring to this. If we just keep doing what we've been doing, we will not solve this. So people have to get comfortable with change and comfortable with new ideas while still being able to, I think we can do both, retain our neighborhood feel and have more housing.
You know, while we have the push for land use planning changes for housing, there's also the push to change land use planning for semiconductor plants. Does that potentially put housing and industry at odds for the same land?
I don't think so. You know, we're looking at land that's already been zoned industrial, there are resources coming through. We have to take advantage of those federal semiconductor chips money that's available at the national level so we can continue to grow advanced manufacturing in the state of Oregon. I think the authority that the legislature is getting almost through the legislature now to give me to, you know, give us some ability to site some new plants, I'm going to make sure it does not conflict with our ability to build more housing. I think we can do both because things are zoned differently.
There's an interesting mixture of feelings out there, as indicated in that poll from DHM Research that came out just before the weekend. I dug into the numbers, and there is confidence that Oregon can solve the homelessness problem. But the largest single group in a question about preferences in my own town, 40% want the rate of home construction slowed in their communities. I mean, did you expect some sort of a strong not in my backyard sentiment?
Well, first of all, it didn't surprise me because I don't think people completely have absorbed the numbers when it comes to how much housing we do need. But I do have trust in Oregonians. First of all, they're hopeful. They're hopeful that we can solve problems like homelessness, which I very much appreciate because you got to have the right attitude to take on these types of challenges. And I think the more people understand that when someone becomes stable and in a transitional shelter, they must have an opportunity to get into housing. Now, we're going to maximize every existing, you know, piece of property or rental that we have right now. But the reality is the numbers just don't add up. We will need more construction. And we will have to have conversations in every community about what that looks like. And I think it's this is the crisis that has been coming for decades, and we all must be involved in solving it, which will mean more construction. We have, you know, we just have to continue talking to folks about how we move people into different types of housing. And I look forward to the conversations across the state. We just have to have them.
About a minute left, Governor, to take up that issue of that middle-term prospect, potentially, where you have fewer people homeless if things work well with the package we're talking about. But more people are potentially annoyed because their own towns are getting more congested.
Well, we live in a beautiful place, and people are going to keep moving here. And I take the challenge that was what we talked about on the campaign trail. People want to see people housed, and they want the communities to be safer. We are all safer, healthier, happier when we have a roof over our heads. And that's what we're gonna have to do. The first goal is to keep people housed if they're housed now, working with local landlords to say, hey, if you've got an available unit, we'll help subsidize this person. We'll provide supports for them. Please rent to them. We need more housing. We have to build more housing, and we have to do it quicker by working through the challenges of permitting, at least in the short term, and getting more money out there. If you're a teacher or a firefighter and you move to a community and you can't find a place to live, I think that is a clear example of the challenge out there. Even someone with a good middle-class income cannot find housing in the state, in many parts of our state. That has to change.
Tina Kotek, Governor of Oregon, thank you so much for joining us for this discussion on Housing Week on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much.
You bet. This is the Jefferson Exchange. We'll be back.